Wow, is it already hour three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey? This day is just flying by. Coming up at 2:45, we pick out the stems and seeds. Is Jason Witten really a candidate to become Tennessee's next coach? The world's going on here. At 2:30, why does January 19th matter? Dolly Parton's birthday, which begs a perverted question from Chad, of course. And in mere minutes, are the Longhorns staking out the Great Northwest for their next defensive play caller? Looks like they have him. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is the pervert himself, Chad Hastings.
How dare you? How dare you? Happy birthday to Dolly Parton. We will get into that discussion at 2:30. Absolutely one of my favorites. Can't wait to have that talk. Before we get into the Texas football discussion a little deeper, Trey, somebody has responded to our discussion earlier. Remember our question of the week, what would you give up for your team to win a title? A natty, world title, you know, Super Bowl, whatever it is, whoever your team is. Soccer championship for you soccer fans, whatever. I'll give you a Euro Cup or a World Cup, whatever you like.
Soccer fans, get out of here. We don't want you.
You know what? Those people I might be interested in, Trey. What would a U.S. soccer fan give up for a World Cup title? I'll give them a World Cup title. What do you give me, soccer fans? Some of them are going to offer up like a left hand.
Their self-gratification sock.
Trey, a Texan.
I'm sorry, that was wrong, soccer fans. I actually don't hate you like BK does.
Here's what a Texans fan's offered up, Trey. A Texans fan texted us that for a Texan Super Bowl championship, they would let every fingernail be ripped off of one of their hands with no anesthetic whatsoever. Just rip them all off.
Oh, my goodness.
Five fingernail pulls for a Super Bowl championship. You giving that one up? Is that enough?
Well, I don't. Maybe five fingernail pulls to get my Oilers back, to have them never leaving town back in the mid-90s.
You're saying they're giving up too much?
No, well.
Or is this not enough?
For a Super Bowl championship, maybe. I'm saying that I had my team ripped from me, so if I could rip all the fingernails off of one hand to get my team back, I might do that.
Oh, my God. All right, so the question you asked last hour, we crafted it a couple different ways, and it came down to this thanks to one of our listeners. Back to the house divided. Trey and I both live there. If you Longhorn fans, you win a national title in football, but at some point in the future, A&M will win a national title beating Texas. That's the deal. And whoever your team is, you orient it for your team. Trey, here's the text I got. I want you to explain it to me. It says, Aggies would take the deal, Horns would not. That's the difference between the schools. What are they trying to say?
Texas has sniffed that success more recently than A&M has.
Okay. They're saying
Texas fans in most of our lifetimes have gotten to experience that, whereas A&M fans have not.
Could I also read that as somebody saying, it almost felt like they were saying Texas, like A&M could deal with Texas having a title more than the Longhorns could deal with the opposite.
Yeah, you may be right about that, but that's because they already do.
So
how often does...
But if you already do, I'm giving you you'd get a 2-for-1. Like, who cares at that point?
Well, because it's nice to have one of your rivals. Yes, we're still rivals, even though we don't play in football.
You want to
keep your rivals doesn't have that brag point, especially if it means that they have the brag point more recently than you do.
Right. You want to keep it where the last time they won a national championship, Hitler was in charge.
Right.
I mean, historically, right? It's that far back.
Because let's think about it also. We're going on 15 years since Texas won their championship. So Texas' last championship is nearly drinking age.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, the Aggies' last championship is maybe so far gone you have to drink for it because it's gone. That's a lot of years. It's 70, 80. It's a lot of years.
Yeah, Texas or A&M's last championship, you have to be careful how much you're drinking at that age. You're already probably dealing with cirrhosis.
Oh, all right. Fine. Yes, what would you give up for your team to win a championship? A lot of different ideas coming out on that this week. We'll continue that discussion. We also continue the Texas football discussion. Apparently, they have found their guy. They have found their defensive coordinator at the University of Texas. If you were hoping that they were going to go to Starkville, Mississippi, nope. if you were hoping that they were going to take another guy from Nick Saban in Alabama. Apparently, that's not it either. But it's a guy that has experience with bugging Steve Sarkisian while he was at Alabama, so there's kind of a Bama connection. Bama played a bowl game years ago where apparently the Washington defense kept them under control more than other teams had, made them clunkier than any other team had. That got Sarkisian's attention, even though he wasn't the coordinator at the time. He was backing things up and analyzing, if you will, for Lane Kiffin. And then years later, it ends up back at Washington. It is Coach Pete. Some will call him Kwiatkowski. It is Kwiatkowski.
Give us your spiel again. You haven't done this since the 12 o'clock hour, so tell us how you know this, please.
I know someone who literally had this name in high school. I
moved straight from Warsaw to Waxahachie.
That is correct. I am really good friends with, and in the past dated, a Polish woman.
Is it true what they say about Polish women?
That they're awesome? Sure. I don't even know what they say about Polish women. But she also has a long name that's kind of hard to pronounce, and everybody mispronounces it. But in this case, she knew this girl. She knew the family. She knows how it's pronounced in the Polish vernacular, if you will. Somebody sent me a pronunciation from the internet, and it pronounced it exactly like I did. Five sounds, Kwiatkowski. And again, punch the cow. Next to last syllable is where they put the emphasis. Kwiatkowski. Or if you want to go Kwiatkowski, you can do that too. That's how I believe it is pronounced. He probably hasn't been wanting to correct anybody because he's trying to coach football. So they may go Kwiatkowski. They may go Kwiatkowski, like a Smakowski from, what was that? Office Space. Wasn't his name Smakowski? The guy who got hit by the car? And won the money?
I'm not remembering that.
I think they called him maybe Smukowski.
Okay.
Smukowski, Mukowski. In this case, it would be Kwiatkowski is how some people are saying it. But either way, it is Pete. I would say Kwiatkowski, but I'll call him Coach Pete to moving forward so we aren't too confused.
I'm calling him Kwiatkowski going forward because that just sets itself up for some really cool nicknames for his defenses when they're good.
You like the quiet assassins, you keep the offense quiet, all those kind of things.
You like quiet assassins. I like quiet but deadly.
Quiet but deadly. Okay, fine, fair enough. Somebody suggested quiet riot for the defense when they blitz, I guess. But anyway, this is a guy who DC since 2014. Linebackers looks like the specialty. The nickname of it was the death row defense in Washington, and he sent 16 guys that are playing in the NFL right now. Buda Baker, Shaq Thompson, Vita Vea. You mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence connects back to Boise. He played D-line at Boise. And I read he was not just a player, like, and I'm not trying to rip the former coach, but like Tom Herman played receiver at a very small school. Mm-hmm. This dude was like a first-team All-American at 1AA. So he was a badass D-lineman at Boise. So shout out to him for that. So he knows his D-line from the personal side, and then the expertise looks like linebacker. Again, people out west really respect him. A lot of people that cover Washington are shocked by this, and they think this is like shake the foundations kind of a move. They're really freaked out by it.
For people wondering about his base defense, get this. Come accustomed to the 3-4 overtime, the 3-3 with Todd Orlando.
Well, 3-3-5, what are we doing?
The 4-2-5 with Chris Ash last year. He runs a 2-4-5, which he sometimes refers to because the linebacker positions have some very different responsibilities as a 2-2-2-5, Chad.
Whoa!
Two defensive tackles, two outside linebackers, one of whom is usually responsible for setting an edge, and then two inside linebackers to go along with the five defensive backs.
Man, a 2-2-2-5.
2-2-2-5.
Oh, man, that's... just trying to get the math on that.
Surprised we're not going 2-2-2-3-2 with the three corners. one,
oh,
the one
God.
Nickel and the two corners and the two safeties are their own thing.
You know, Trey, I've always preferred the 1-1-3-1-5. I think that's a hell of a defense. You just got to get the right beef up front. Dude, the 1-1-3-1-5, that's incredible.
The key is that fourth level. Nobody ever sees that fourth level.
Nobody sees it. Right, exactly. And you can put anybody you want in there. You put a guy that's like, Darren Sproles' size, and they really don't see him. It's great. So maybe that will be, not maybe, you know that will be talked about. We just came out of a period where Texas fans want to gripe, scream, holler when a defense doesn't work and they're not seeing enough four-man fronts in their mind, or how are you going to make this work? But it's a conference where Haycock and that Iowa State 3-3-5 has become kind of the stuff of legend. A guy we've had on the station, you hear him, Ian Boyd, the breakdown expert at Inside Texas, he loves that Iowa State defense, man. He loves how versatile it is. It's all about who you get into the positions. So that's a really interesting part, Trey. There's three things coming together here. There's the school itself and the talent you've already got on defense. You know you're at Texas. You know you got to play in the Big 12. You know who's on your schedule. Then you've got Sark coming from Alabama. He knows what Alabama had on defense. He knew how that worked in the SEC. But he's got to change his mindset a little bit, at least for now, because he doesn't have the exact level of talent that Bama does, because nobody does but them. And then you've got this other guy who's coming from the Pac-12, not a place that's known for playing great defense, but he's been pretty damn good among that group. That's another thing you got to worry about if you're a Texas fan, right? Is this guy, defensive coordinator speaking, is he like the hottest woman in Boise? That's your fear, right? Mm-hmm. You're a Texas fan. You can't have him be the hottest woman in Boise. You need to have him be a 10 that was living in Boise and now is going to come to you and still shine, and this defense is still going to make sense. Best defense in the Pac-12, 5 out of 6 years. Okay, I guess. And they do play badass offense, supposedly. So you have to weigh everything out there. But those three things are going to come together. And if you're really going to tell Texas fans, it'll be okay. And we're going to, yeah, but a 2-2-2-5, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Two-man front, trust me, it'll work. It better work.
The only thing I worry about that right now is that you have a ton of depth on the defensive line, specifically those interior tackle positions.
Yeah.
And guys who I don't know if they flex out well to an outside linebacker spot, even if they're an edge setter. Like, whereas the linebacker position on the whole is one of the positions on either side of the ball that has the least amount of depth right now.
Like, what would he say about Sweat and Collins? How Sweat, would he interpret that?
Sweat, Collins, Keandre Coburn.
Yeah, Coburn may be the place to start.
Mora Jomo, considering him with a hand in the ground versus setting up as an outside linebacker.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there were some other guys like that, too. Vernon Broughton did not look like a guy that was going to be shifting to a linebacker position anytime soon. If anything, it looked like they were trying to bulk him up to get him more ready to take on serious snaps on the inside.
And isn't it fair if a Texas fan would say right now, you tell me where your gut is on this, but a Texas fan right now is going to say, just because you're one of the better defenses in the Pac-12, that means nothing to me as a Big 12 fan, because I know the Big 12 offenses are better than what you're dealing with. Like, I know it for a fact. I know Oklahoma's is better, but conference-wide, I feel like the Big 12 offenses are going to stack up better than what those Pac-12 offenses are doing right now. Is that fair?
Yeah, and it's not totally fair to look at the results from this past season. Although Washington would have played for a Pac-12 championship, they were giving up a ton of yards on the ground in 3 of their 4 Pac-12 games, more than 160 yards to each of those 3 of 4 opponents. But even going back to like 2017 and 2018, when there was offensive talent there, they were either not playing certain guys. Like his defense, I think he faced Justin Herbert twice. Once as a freshman, didn't play that next year, and then his junior season or his senior season, whichever it was, faced him one more time then. He actually held Herbert in check in terms of his overall numbers, but they lost the game to Oregon and gave up 30 points. They didn't face USC in Sam Darnold's final 2 years. And the one truly dynamic offense, well, there were two, actually, that they faced in that time were in the Rose Bowl both years. Once they lost to Penn State, something like 35-28, so that was the Saquon Barkley, Trace McSorley team, And then the year after that, they lost to Dwayne Haskins in Ohio State. Gave up less points in the process, but still ultimately lost the game. Now, you can point back to the offensive side of the ball for the Huskies during that era and say, look, the defense, more often than not, was far and away getting the job done over the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And now you hope there's at least a little bit more balance with Sarkisian in charge of the offense to go along with a really bright, well-respected defensive mind, and not even just in the Pac-12, by the way. Obviously, they value him more in Seattle than they do anywhere else in the country, but this guy does still have a really good reputation nationally.
Yeah, and you'll just have you just have to see how it transfers, because that conference has been kind of quiet for a while.
That's the problem. The Pac-12 has sucked these last couple of years.
Right. The quality's been down. The respect is not there. And again, there's no portal in. There's no respect for their conference champion to actually. There have been some good teams that have won their conference, but they don't automatically get a spot in a playoff. You have to vote them in, and nobody's had the respect. So it's going to all be kind of a relative discussion. So Coach Pete, it looks like he's going to be the guy. We can say that pretty confidently because there's a report earlier. Shout out to Eric Nahlin, who we've had on the show from Inside Texas, reporting that there was a Zoom call today with media, and Sarkisian literally said it's good to have him on board because he was really tough to deal with. He was a real tough guy to face and blah, 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 blah. He's not saying that if the guy's not showing up. So, and there's no way the guy's going to come down and be a position coach from being the DC at Washington. So he's going to be the DC. So congrats to Coach Pete. That's a different world right there, Trey. You've been hanging in Seattle all this time. The rain, beautiful trees, beautiful mountains, weird weather, the clouds and stuff. And then he's going to come hang in Austin?
Yeah.
That's going to be a big upgrade. Just in terms of the sunshine. He's going to see more sunshine in a week than he's seen the last year.
I'm not sure how many offenses are still running the air raid in the Big 12, but he had success going up against Mike Leach's air raid with Washington State as the DC of Washington.
That's a good point. They were killing that apple cup for a while. Yeah, Peterson owned Leach.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't a matter of them getting into shootouts either. It's like Washington State scoring 10 and 14 points in games.
Yeah. They flattened Leach for a while. You're absolutely right. A lot of stuff going on there, so congrats to Coach Pete. We have also talked about the postponements in Texas basketball. Unfortunately, not only the Iowa State game, but the TCU game has also been postponed. Real quick before the break, Trey, we want to give them a little taste of this NCAA tournament thing, or are we going to save that for Stems and Seeds? We need to mention that today.
Ugh, let's save it for Stems and Seeds. I do not like how they're shifting games around. You're screwing up the first round, NCAA, but I expect nothing less from you.
Yeah, it feels bad. So stay with us. Stems and Seeds before the hour is done. They are rescheduling things with March Madness. We told you earlier about combine changes in the NFL as they try to deal with a COVID world in a couple different ways. Up next, though, it's January 19th. We'll tell you why today matters, including a big birthday. Technically, it's two big ones. And the question is, would you pay to see them in 2021? Come on, be honest. You'd do it. We'll give you the price up next on The Horn. It's an easy one when you hit this day. Janis Joplin would have been 78 years old. Happy birthday to Janis. By the way, I misspoke earlier. My man Robert Palmer died back in like 03. I was trying to keep him alive. I'm so sorry. I guess I didn't look at that part carefully. Would have been 72 today, but now I'm remembering it as people were sending it in earlier. He did die a few years ago. We'll get to another big birthday coming up here. If you're just tuning in, the name will be said many different ways, but it is Coach Pete. It is the Washington Washington, D.C. So if you're looking at going X's and O's and diving in, go back and watch that Washington defense the last couple years, Texas fans, because that is looking to be your new D.C. Not official from the university yet, but Sarkisian was on a conference call today, a Zoom call, where he said it was good to have him on board. So unless something goes really wrong, he's going to be the D.C. So it looks to be that of the D.C. position. And then Kyle Flood, who will also coach offensive line, will technically be the O.C. But we know Sarkisian's going to be calling plays when it comes to 2021 and Texas.
God, I hope Sarkisian can truly handle play calling as the head coach. Yeah. I think he can. I have more confidence in him doing so than I do Herman.
Obviously hadn't done it in a while, and not to be snarky about his situation at all, but this will be the first time he's done it since he got better, right? Yeah. Since he conquered the demons.
And tried first time he's calling plays?
As a head coach,
gotcha.
Right, with everything, running all of it.
Yeah.
What you'd hope there, of course, is that the discipline he's used to kick that problem and kick that issue and control that issue. Now it might even be easier for him to be a head coach. Like, he might get through it and go, oh, wow, now everything's a lot clearer in terms of how I want to do things. The game rolls out differently, and hopefully he'll be able to do that. I don't think we'll hear about collaborative efforts in 2021.
No too many cooks in the kitchen?
No, none of
bits.
That. None of that.
My goodness.
And hopefully not a lot of binder talk either. All right, let's tell you why January 19th matters and see if I'm the only sicko.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
We should have made more of Betty White's 99th birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Betty.
Unfortunately, there were some other major birthdays yesterday that got us off track.
Yep.
But you still told me off the air that at 99, given the chance and the hall pass from your wife,
mm-hmm.
you would sleep with Betty White.
I am not taking it off the table.
At 99.
Obviously, Betty is going to have to, A, agree to the situation, and B, you know, be her awesome, attractive self. But yeah, I'm not going to take it off the table. Just because the woman's sitting at the double nine, I'm not going to assume that she can't go.
Thanks for clarifying that you're not going to R Betty White. We all appreciate that.
No, I'm just saying, I don't want, you know, yeah, it'll be fine. But I'm not taking it off the table.
So that's yesterday. Today, we have something that it's less perverted.
Okay.
For you or anybody else.
Well, that's good.
It is less perverted because it doesn't involve sex in any way, shape, or form, but it does involve your voyeuristic sensibilities with older women.
It does involve that. And it involves a historic story about a historic woman and her historic chest. Dolly Parton is 75 years old today.
She is a legend.
She is a legend. And for years, Dolly's talked about this. There was this interview she did back in the day where she said, I have an agreement with Playboy magazine, when I turn 75, if they want me to, if people want me to, I will pose for them. And Dolly Parton fans, like me, have been kind of waiting around to see what would happen.
Didn't Playboy go out of business?
Playboy hard copy went out of business. I'm not sure if they're still doing digital stuff or not.
Okay.
Now, back in the 70s, Dolly Parton did pose on the cover of Playboy in the Playboy bunny outfit. So didn't do the inside stuff, hasn't done the nude pics or anything. But she was the first country performer ever to be on the cover of Playboy magazine. So now she's saying she might do that again. She might do the bunny suit again if they want her to, now that she's 75. But my question, Trey, to the people is really simple. Would you pay to see them at 75? The money can go to a good cause. The money can go to ticket prices. The money can go to whatever you want. You set the amount at 50 cents earlier. And you told me you would not pay 50 cents. You wouldn't put two quarters on a table to see Dolly Parton's chest right now.
I just don't care that much.
Okay.
They're too big, for one.
How dare you?
And they're, well, I guess technically they're probably more like 40, but she's 75, man.
How dare you big shame them? They can't help that they're big. She can,
oh,
but they can't.
Yeah, she could have helped.
They can't, though.
Them being that big.
She says they're the same as they were back then, which is a funny line.
Well, yeah, but they're still fake, though. That's the point.
That's why she said it. They're the same as they were. You see what she's doing there?
So that's 50 cents is probably, that's probably going a little bit too low. So let's say for $20.
Okay.
I think $20 is a fair amount. You have a $20 bill in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Would you hand that to, let's say, a homeless guy on the streets? Homeless guy goes off, does his thing, and you actually get to just see a picture of them.
It's a picture. One picture? Or is there not a pictorial, one picture?
What, are you looking for like a 3D image?
Not a 3D image. Multiple pictures are better than one.
Multiple pictures. Okay.
All right.
Sure. I'll give you a 15-second video.
Yeah, ooh. Well, now.
Of doing a half circle shot around Dolly.
Absolutely, for $20.
Okay.
Yeah. And sadly, it might go up there. But you got to remember, I am a big fan of Dolly's, and they are just, they're legendary. Like, I'm a believer in the Jeff Foxworthy theory that every man is pretty much thinking, I want something to eat and I want to see something naked. That's how simple we are. And these are the most famous, you could argue, pop culture boobs that nobody's ever seen. And I get to see them and all I have to do is pay a little bit? Absolutely.
What is your limit here? Because you are one of the biggest cheap asses at this radio station. I'm shocked that you are forking over $20 for this.
I'm not sure what the limit is.
50.
Yeah, I'd do it for 50.
100.
Yeah.
1,000.
We'd have to have a discussion at that point. I'd have to stop and think about it at that point. That would make me, four digits would make me think. I'll admit.
So $900, you're in.
You know what? Let's say once it gets over, if it got over $500, I'd really have to wonder what was going on. I'm sorry, man. I'm a big fan.
Oh, we're all wondering what's going on, too.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, this is all, I want Dolly to, you know me, I got to have Dolly agree to this. But I want it to be all about Dolly saying, hey, I'm 75. If you want to see what I got, I'll show you what I got.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Is whether you would be willing to pay for a month subscription to Playboy.com or whatever their online handle is. Because that's what will happen if they try and take her up on this offer, which they should, by the way.
Sure.
When was the last time we heard about Playboy other than them going out of business 5 years ago?
I know. They should have done it. Now, here's a great one, Trey. Great little piece of trivia that came out of that story. The Playboy Bunny suit that everybody's familiar with, the Playboy Bunny outfit. Do you know who is credited with designing it? The Playboy Bunny outfit was designed by the mother of an actor that everybody knows. That's my hint to you. Whose mother designed the Playboy Bunny outfit?
Of an actor everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
What was this actor in?
If I name a movie, you're going to know it right away. I mean, this is a big-time name. It's a massive name. And it's a man, if that helps you. It's his mother. Massive male actor.
Dela Cruz.
I like the attempt there. How about Keanu Reeves' mother?
Who the heck is his mom?
Her name is Patricia Taylor, and she is a fashion designer and designed the Playboy Bunny outfit.
Patricia Taylor. She's a tailor.
And she's a tailor, exactly. And the story is Keanu Reeves in an interview apparently once said that for a Halloween one year, he dressed up as a Playboy Bunny. Like as a teenager, he just dressed up as a Playboy Bunny.
Oh, Yanu, I love you.
Oh, Keanu, you are the man. Yes, indeed. Happy birthday to Dolly Parton. Ask your friends. Make them be honest. Would they pay some money to see Dolly Parton in all her glory?
I feel like Dolly Parton, that part of her allure, it does not play as well in 2021. Like, kids are going to look at Dolly, even back in the day, and say, so?
You mean if we actually see him?
No, just seeing her with her top on and saying, oh, how about the promise of seeing these when she's 75?
Yeah.
Younger people, like if we were to ask BK this question, he'd be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't have the full experience with Dolly, you're not going to think of it that way.
Right.
It's very different.
Because even me, I'm maybe a little bit too young for that because that does nothing for me.
Dude, what if in the video you're going to give me, what if she walks in the room wearing a trench coat of many colors, she opens it up to reveal, and then hard candy falls from the sky?
Is she Joseph from the Bible?
No, she's got a song called Coat of Many Colors.
Oh.
And I just insulted all the fans that are listening, and they think I went sacrilege there.
Well, you are on the clock for Dolly Parton for the next 2 weeks now.
No, I am so pro Dolly Parton, I can't even tell you.
Making sacrilegious jokes about the Technicode of many colors.
Not sacrilegious. It's not a religious code. It's about her being poor and the family being poor. Code of many colors.
Yeah.
They sewed it all together and everything.
Well, you've just gone over my head with Dolly Parton songs.
Code of many colors, trench coat, and her revealing. I would pay to see that. I would pay for pay-per-view. Where's my pay-per-view? Dolly sing a couple songs and then give us all a flash. Let's do it.
Now, would she be doing this sometime between 9 and 5?
Well done.
Well done. That was my one Dolly Parton song reference.
That was very good. And we end with a Trey Dolly Parton dad joke. I think that's worth all the perversion I just threw out there. All right, let's go stems and seeds coming up. What are they going to do with the NCAA basketball tournament in 2021 that has Trey pissed off? We'll tell you on the horn. Twice.
Yeah, this is one of the lesser-known hits of Janice's. It's called Move Over. It was suggested on the text line back in the 12 o'clock hour.
Happy birthday to Janice. Happy birthday again to Dolly Parton. Somebody on the text line says, Chad, you are a sicko, but I'm with you. Growing up as a kid in the neighborhood, we used to play Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. I don't think I'd go all the way up to a G, but I'm in for $500 to see old Dolly naked. You know what? I'm not even talking naked. I could just handle topless because, Trey, I'm classy.
Whoever signed off on seeing Dolly naked as Kellen Winslow Jr., come on. That's not right.
Got to be better. We got to be better than that.
That's pretty low.
We have to be better than that. All right, before we get out of here, let's go stems and seeds. Trey will tell you about the tournament. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, they're trying to figure things out at this bubble set up in Indianapolis, but you're not liking the reset here.
Just when you think the NCAA couldn't bleep up college basketball any more than they have in the last 25-plus years, they have decided to shift around what's happening in the first and second rounds of the tourney. First four games, Chad,
yep,
will now happen on that Thursday that we traditionally get day one of the tournament, day one of two of the first round.
Dayton's on a Thursday.
The first round is a Friday-Saturday combo now. Second round, Sunday-Monday. And then the third round, the Sweet 16, Saturday-Sunday. With the Elite Eight, Monday-Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. So somebody has an Elite Eight game on a Tuesday, which feeds to the Final Four the next Saturday?
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
And the Saturday, Monday for the Final Four in the championship game, that's normal. But that Thursday, Friday are special for lots of reasons, but in part because it's happening on Thursday, Friday. It's happening during the workday.
Dude, it's so cool. Even when the basketball is not the best, even when it's a little watered down, the format wins out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on. I'm telling you, Trey, we were talking about this during the break, but I love them doing the NBA, but the moment that those TNT NBA guys walked into that building, they've ruined this tournament. They have over-corporatized the tournament. Yeah. They've over-scheduled the tournament. We all said, oh, my God, we got to be able to watch every bit of four games, and they took that information and destroyed the excitement that they usually created. They created four separate broadcasts so they could pay all these different people, and they forgot about what made the tournament exciting, and they forgot about taking us to the most exciting games if it's needed, and now they're doing this. You're going to take my Thursday away?
You have ensured that viewership is going to drop significantly for that day two of the first round by putting it on a Saturday. And by the way, the second round, the day two of second round happening on Monday, also does a disservice to anybody who's interested in watching those games.
You're going into Monday and Tuesday?
Putting it at the start of the work week?
This is like the women's tournament schedule they came up with. Where let's go Saturday, Monday, and Sunday, Tuesday so we can get out of the way of the men's tournament and maybe get some eyes.
Yeah, the structure where you were kind of stumbling into results even as somebody who is mildly interested in the women's tournament.
Oh, my God, that is awful. All right, Trey, now, are you familiar with the Jason Bourne movies? Are you into these, the Matt Damon movies?
I saw the first one. I liked it okay, but I have not continued to watch them since then.
I just want to know if you think my analogy is sound. There was a character in one of those movies named Pamela Landy, and the idea was that they were going to hang whatever, if it went wrong, they were going to hang it around her neck, and she was the one that had to take the blame. Do you agree with me that they're trying to make Jason Witten, if they actually pick Jason Witten, that Tennessee is just trying to find someone to throw to the bottom of the proverbial river, if you will, if it all goes wrong?
I mean, I think that they're trying to find somebody to help pull them out of that. And so they want to find a guy who bleeds that powder orange that, for whatever reason, continues to find his way into jobs that he is not at all qualified for.
Has he ever been away from the field. Coach at all?
I don't believe so.
I mean,
maybe he's helped out in one of those kooky Pro Bowl weekends when he's not playing in the game itself.
If I was a Tennessee fan, I would just take a breath and hope everyone is trying to mess with me and is kidding, because I know what they are right now, but they're still Tennessee on some level. Yeah. If they hire Jason Witten, that is an embarrassing, I mean, to say the very least. That would be such a horrible move for them.
Did you see who else is throwing his name into the ring?
No. Mr. Herman?
Well, I'm guessing that
he would be
a candidate.
Who else?
He might actually be one of the better candidates when you consider Jason Witten and Jeff Fisher.
There we go. Oh, let them hire Jeff Fisher. Please let them make that hire.
Well, just for the train wreck element, I want that to happen.
Wow. Yeah, that would
guessing
be.
Vince Young's not going to be his quarterback's coach.
Let me tell you, if you want to hear laughter coming from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, hire one of those two guys and tell Nick Saban, see what he does.
Unfortunately, I think in the state of Tennessee, the word is kind of out on Jeff Fisher.
I would hope.
Considering that one of his last two stops was with the Titans.
Hey, you never know. Maybe Scott Linehan will say no to Urban Meyer and he'll call Jeff Fisher.
Just go ahead and consider Scott Linehan as your head coach while you're at it, Tennessee.
Who in the world is Urban Meyer going to look at if Scott Linehan says no? If your list starts with Scott Linehan, I need to see the rest of your list. I really do. I want to see what your ideas are.
Yeah, what is going on there?
Come on.
You have to know better than that.
Oh, my God. Urban, you've been watching college football all year long. You know who the minds are. You know who the hot shot offensive minds are. You have to know.
Yeah, even though you guys didn't cover a ton of SEC games on Fox necessarily, Urban Meyer, you saw that Scott Linehan spent one season there and then had to go a separate way.
Yeah.
Like, that's how things were not working out at the college level.
Right. Even if you didn't call Baton Rouge, he was there 1 year and gone. You think that's because he's awesome?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Out of the NFL, Trey, apparently it's bye-bye for Mark Ingram in Baltimore. Handled it very respectfully, but he's 31 years old. Is there still something left for Mark Ingram, you think?
I feel like when I've seen him on the field over these last couple of years, there is something left. He just can't be your feature guy anymore. And probably a wise move by the Ravens. They have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I think that's a pretty good thunder and lightning combination, if you will. There's obviously running backs that you can find in the draft if you want to add to depth, and his time is up in Baltimore. I'm sure he will end up someplace else this next year and probably play sporadically, be hurt part of the time, you know, the Mark Ingram way.
Best of luck to Mark Ingram finding a new spot. Triple option coming up, and then it's the Longhorn Blitz podcast tonight at 7. The very latest on this new DC. Apparently we know the guy. The guys will tell you about who he is coming up. Have a good one. We're back for a Wednesday show tomorrow. See ya!